This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, where you get multifamily investing made real. Learn from top players in the real estate investment world as they share their secrets with you and discover proven strategies on apartment investing that actually work. To learn more about Wheelbarrow Profits, visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. Now to your hosts, Jake and Gino.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father of six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Yaki Boom Boom Stenziano, I'm doing good this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Going to go look at some deals today. Going to get out in the field. Going to push the admin work aside. So that's what I like to do. And I'm going to make a little plug right now for our live event, October 6th and 7th. It's shrinking. There's a few tickets left. If you want them, get them while they're hot. The G-Dad's got the goods. Nashville, not only a destination to see Jake and Gino, but a destination city. All right? Going to be a good time. You don't want to miss this one.
Like Jake said, I think about 30 tickets left. We're shooting for 350 people. We've got some great sponsors. And Jake forgot to mention what we're going to be teaching about, what we did last year, the buy right, the manage right, and finance right. There's not much upselling in this event. We're there to really teach our community and to teach everybody there. I had a great time last year. I loved it last year. It's all multifamily. We're going to have our insurance guy there. We're going to be talking about laundry. Who talked about laundry at a live event? But it's all about generating revenue on these deals, right? It's all about where we can increase the value of these properties. We're going to have a cable guy talking about cable contracts. This stuff is very important. We dive into the weeds because we want to get into the weeds because that's where you make the money, right? The attention to detail, it's where you make money in multifamily. So That's why I'm excited to be there this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The D-Dog and I had dinner with Capital One Multifamily last night, and I forgot to tell you, they want a booth. So we're going to have to get you on after that.
Whew. He's just killing these sponsors. So the great thing about it is sponsors are from, we have a self-directed IRA guy. We have an insurance. We have a community banker. We have Kim Taylor there who's a syndication attorney. We have everybody in the realm. We have our property management team there. So it's all built out. It's all about the buying right. It's all about the managing right. And it's all about the finance right. Those three legs we focus on when we teach, and we're going to focus on that at the event.
And today is all about the KK, because today's guest is KK Singh, and he has been a successful business owner. He's owned numerous gas stations, convenience stores, laundromats, and 40 single-family rentals in Northeast Indiana. He's also invested in multifamily syndications. So without further ado, KK, yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here on your show today. And thanks very much.
You're welcome.
It is our pleasure. So you are a business madman here. You got so many different businesses. How did you get started, and what was the first business?
Well, I came here in 2000 as a Microsoft certified system engineer. But immediately after that, I lost my job after 9/11, and I had some friends. They were in the gas station business. So I landed in the gas station business. And since then, for 15 years continuously, I kept on increasing my business, buying more gas stations over these about 15 years.
Wow. So what do you like about the gas station business?
Well, first I worked at the gas station. Mm-hmm. So I knew the in and out of the gas station. After about 6 months working at the gas station, I partnered with my friend and started, because this is the only thing I knew out of the my computer job. And my friends they helped me, and I got into the gas station business with partnership with them. I ran the gas station. They invested in the gas station. I didn't have much money to invest.
So how was that feeling about coming here and losing a job? How did you feel? How did that make you feel?
Well, I had done several other stuff in India. I wasn't, because in India, there's not too many computer jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I it didn't hurt me too much because on the other side, I went into the business.
Mm-hmm. So did you like business? Was business a natural thing for you, or was it hard for you coming out from the W-2 environment?
Well, no, it didn't take me too long to adjust. So, and after that, I never thought of going back to the W-2.
Sounds about right.
When you came over here, did you come with family? Were you by yourself or?
No, I came with the family.
And what did the family say when you lost the job?
Well, my wife was worried about the job, and I knew I could be successful because I had business in India and I had the entrepreneurship, and I knew that I will be successful in the business.
And when you got into the gas station, you started buying gas stations. When was the first time you bought your first rental property?
Well, I bought my rental property after 15 years starting with the gas station business. So it was just 3 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
It wasn't one property. I bought 33.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So which business do you like better, gas stations or real estate?
Well, I am full-time real estate guy now.
Oh.
So I do have the gas stations. I have a laundromat too. But when we bought these properties, I started managing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we haven't looked back. And I used to run a gas station as well as manage these 33 houses.
Mm-hmm.
But I quit doing that. I handed it over to my partners, and I started full time in the real estate in 2015.
So, KK, how was that transition? Because you sound like a guy who's like, Jake, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Take control of everything. I mean, how was it for you to be able to build systems up and to get team members on and to start building this, I guess, the network you need to be able to hand it off? How was that?
Well, all this happened accidentally. Mm-hmm. At the church. I'm a kind of a landlord by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because we at the church, we have a member who is like, he was 82 years old. He wanted to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked up to me during the break and he said, I want to sell you my 33 houses. I never thought that I'm going to be in the real estate business. Mm-hmm. And never be a landlord. But he just insisted me. He said he's going to give me a good deal. He's going to help me for a year, and I don't have to pay any money to him. And
I need to sign up for this church.
Wow. So how did that come about? I mean, that is a sweet, that's what we call a pocket listing, right, Jake? That's an off-market deal.
I don't know. I've never heard this before. That's called good peeps. All right.
Sweet. Because he had sold these properties before, he couldn't get the financing.
Oh.
And he was desperate to get out because he was 82 already. And his children refused to take these properties. They said, go ahead and sell them and enjoy.
Wow.
Because he knew I was successful, and he thought we'll be able to close. And he offered me a good deal. And after one day, I called him back and said, okay, I'm ready to take. And I didn't do any research. I didn't know how to look at the these cap rates, financials, and all that of the houses. I knew the gas station business very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just compared it to the gas station and saw the income and the payments and everything, and signed up.
At the end of the day, it's income versus expenses, right, G-Dad?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many questions. I want to unpack this because he's got the classic, KK has the classic example of a mom and pop seller right there. Not one house. He has 33 houses. They all come in same size, different sizes, right, Jake? Different flavors, but it's all about motivation. It's all about putting yourself out there. KK, can you talk about a little bit of the financials? Like you say, was it no money down? Was he holding paper on this deal? How did this deal finally close?
This is a very honest man. He has been in 40 years. He didn't lie anything to us, and we just trusted him as our member. We trusted him, whatever he told, and I didn't even look at the financials.
Wow.
I didn't even look at the financials. He didn't even give us the financials. The financials were only given to the bank.
Wow. So when you closed on the deal, what was the strategy? Was it a value add strategy? Did you have to do any deferred maintenance? Talk about the deal a little bit.
Oh, okay. There was no value add. He had done all the stuff. These were old houses though, but he had maintained them very well. His family owned several other houses in the area, and he always did the maintenance. He managed himself, so there was no stuff left to be done. Mm-hmm. And I took over after the closing, and he was supposed to help me for a year. And after about 10 days, I realized that he is old school. He wants to do everything on paper. And I was like a tech guy, and I said, Uncle, I'm going to do. I went ahead and started researching, and I found Buildium. I signed up for Buildium and moved all my properties. And after 10 days, I let him go.
Oh, wow. So you fired him. That's good. So
oh, man.
You scaled him from the very beginning. What did you end up doing with these properties? Did you end up refinancing these properties? What did you end up doing with them?
Oh, actually, before we closed, his son said, oh, you won't be out if you're going to finance them. You won't be out of the business. So you'll still be in the business helping them with your money and everything. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I don't want to finance you. Mm-hmm. But I won't be out of the business. And then I made a deal with him. I said, okay, give me one house free. We'll get our own financing. And he agreed to give us a house free. Out of 33, he gave us one house free. And we went ahead and got the financing from the bank.
Wow, that is awesome. So you got the 33 houses. When was the first venture, I guess, into multifamily, into an apartment complex?
The last year after, okay, there is something in between that I want to talk about.
Sure.
His son had six houses too. Mm-hmm. And we, in the meantime, after 15, we had a team gather together, and we decided to flip houses. We flipped some houses, and then we thought, okay, we are paying everything back in taxes, so what's the use of doing these flips? Mm-hmm. And we decided to stop the flips, and we bought a house at the auction for $23,000, which appraised at $56,000. We used that house as collateral and bought his son's six houses.
Wow, that is awesome.
Tapping the vein, right? Just working through to clear them out.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't know at that time what is creative financing is, but I accidentally did that creative financing. We didn't have to put any money out of our pocket. But I mean, we bought like seven cash flowing properties, and the property that I bought for $23,000, mm-hmm. We rented it for $760.
Wow.
So here's the thing. You developed rapport. You created rapport with the seller. You right. showed him that you were a closer, and therefore it opened up more opportunities because you did things right on the front end.
Yep.
Rapport, closing, doing what you say you're going to do creates more opportunities down the road. That's exactly what happened there. So very well done. That's wow. great.
And after having these 40 properties, I said, stop here. I started researching, reading books and all that. And I thought this is the time to move to the multifamily. Mm-hmm. So we decided to move to the multifamily and invest in syndication. First, we started trying to buy our apartment complex by our own. And we did give offers on four properties. There were small properties ranging from 32 to 96. And we had $1 million cash at that time. But none of our offers were accepted. Mm-hmm. And after giving four offers, I decided that we are doing something wrong. I started learning a lot, bigger pockets, and read some other books, and connected with some other people And then I came to know there is something called syndication.
Mm-hmm.
after I've been doing a lot of research, I said, okay, in the meantime, we're going to invest in syndications. Mm-hmm. So I started connecting with the syndicators and started learning more and more about it. I started reading more and more about it. And then last year I invested in two deals. And this year I have so far invested in four deals.
Wow. Let me jump into that real quick. But what I want to do is go back to your story about buying those homes. I want the listeners to know, what mistakes did you make at the time when you bought those properties that you said, I could have avoided that if I had a little bit of experience?
Okay. I don't think we made a mistake in buying those properties, but I made a mistake in when we were doing flippings.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought a house on the auction.com. And immediately after I bought it, I went to the house and knocked the door and asked that lady if she would give me the keys. And she said she's going to give me the keys on the weekend. She's going to move out. I told her politely that we have bought this house and it was auctioned on auction.com. And she knew about it. And she vacated the house in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And she handed over me the keys. I didn't have to pay her anything, nothing, just polite words. And she also let me walk through the house when I went for the first time. She did let me give me the keys, and we invested $20,000 on that house.
Mm-hmm.
Before the closing, okay. Before the closing. The house was ready before the closing because there wasn't much needed done.
Mm-hmm.
So we changed the carpet, we painted the house, and there were certain things we did, put new lights, etc. We did put the new appliances, and then we closed the house.
Mm-hmm.
When we closed on the house and we put it on the sale, and it was sold for the price we listed for.
Okay.
Within a week it was sold. But I think that was my mistake, putting $20,000 before the closing.
Mm-hmm.
But we made money on it, and everything went well. But I don't think somebody should be doing it. This I realized after that I shouldn't have done this.
Mm-hmm.
If something went wrong with the closing, and we would have lost that $20,000.
Yep.
So why did you get out of the flipping business real quick?
Well, because of our gas station business, we were already on the higher income tax slabs. So we ended up paying a lot of money out of the flipping business. So we decided not to.
Uh-huh. Jake, that's just like Dave Zook trying to find the alternative way to save taxes, and that's why he got into multifamily. Now, when you look at a syndication, what's your criteria for looking at a syndicator or looking at a deal and saying, I like this deal, I'm going to invest in this deal?
Okay, well, first of all, when I decided into moving into multifamily, the tax was my first concern because mm-hmm. we paid a lot of income tax. And I said there has to be a legal way to avoid this tax because there are people who are in the real estate didn't pay up any tax. I have heard a lot on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there has to be a way. So I started looking and I came across, read several books, read several blogs. I came across that the multifamily is a good way to avoid taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading about it. I created a strategy and a criteria to invest. Mm-hmm. So I have it in front of me on my other computer, and I always compare the deal with my criteria. If it doesn't meet my criteria, I pass.
So share that criteria with us. What is it?
Well, there are several things that I try to take a look at it. I try to take a look at the market. What mm-hmm. market is it? And then even the parts of the town. So let's say I have several investment in Dallas. So then I look at the submarkets, and then I look at the property. Then I look at the returns on the And of course, I look at the syndicators, sponsors. I have contacts with several. And I invest in only B and C plus properties. I don't invest in D or A properties.
And what kind of returns are you looking for? If you want to talk about the return metrics, what are you looking at?
Okay, criteria, it says 8% preferred return, 18% IRR, at least 8% cash on cash.
So that's good, Jake. I like that. But how did you find the syndicators? How did you go about making connections with the syndicators?
Well, I have been active on the bigger pockets. Mm-hmm. That's where I found all my syndicators.
Wow.
Yeah. And I followed them. I read their articles. And I have met only one syndicator so far. And he's in Indianapolis. And I have invested with him too. And I have a LinkedIn account. That's where I look. And most part, I started with Bigger Pockets and then followed them from there.
Gotcha. And
because on Bigger Pockets, you can see how people feel about them, what they think about them, and how active they are on the Bigger Pockets. And you can read their readings and blogs, and you mm-hmm. can figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So what do you look for in a syndicator?
Well, I first of all, I look for a track record. Mm-hmm. How long they have been in the business, how many deals they have done, and then I look for do they have a skin in the game, or maybe they're playing with our money, the investors' money, or do they have their own money too?
Mm-hmm.
And experience, and I try to do value add from 5 to 7 years old.
Jake, that sounds like us, Jake. Right?
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, we have yet to syndicate a deal. We've got a lot of units, and we're looking to get into syndication. We created a syndication company, and we don't have experience in syndication, but we're vertically integrated. We check a lot of the boxes for you. So you're just in Indianapolis right now. Are you looking at any other cities or any other markets to syndicate deals?
Yes. Yeah. We have like 4 in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And then we have 1 in Dayton, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and then 1 in Indianapolis. And I'm looking at 2 more. I have in my pipeline here in San Antonio, and 1 in Jacksonville, Florida.
Wow, that's great. Those are all really booming markets. As far as going long term, are you going to buy yourself, or are you going to just stick to syndicating deals?
Well, I am paving the way for my son. He's going to Kelly School of Business in Indianapolis, and he has interest in real estate. So I'm trying to pave the way. He doesn't like the gas station business. I mean, I have partners in the gas station business, so he doesn't have to go to the gas station business, but he likes this. So I'm trying to pave the way for him so that after he graduates, I'm talking to some syndicators who are willing to take me on the GP side too.
Okay. All right. I want to jump back to the gas station business. It's a tough business, right? A lot of hours, a lot of stress, a lot of, it's a lot of risk also, isn't it?
Correct.
So that's why you're transitioning, and your son, it's the same thing as me, as my kids when I was in the restaurant business. I think they're very similar. A lot of hours. You're working when people don't want to work. You do make money, but you do pay high taxes. So I can see the transition. I think your son's being very wise to get into the real estate business. What is your best tip for someone who wants to go out and look at syndicators or syndicate a deal?
Well, I did a lot of mistakes. My best advice to other people is to invest in themselves before they invest in something else, any real estate. They should be reading some books. They should have basic knowledge. And when we went into the real estate business, we didn't have any knowledge. We didn't know what cap rate is. So my advice is that they should have at least the basic knowledge, and then only they should be investing. And every person has their own goals. My goal is different than yours. And I have taken classes also. I have taken a course, and I'm taking another one. I mean, I'm not buying any property, but I'm still learning, and I'm investing in myself.
Very cool.
I like that.
I always like to ask people, do you have a best habit for success? Is there something that you do on like a daily or weekly basis that has contributed to your wealth creation?
Well, let me tell you this here. I go to the gym almost every day, and I listen to at least one podcast every day.
All right.
So all of you, I have listened to your podcast before. So every day I listen to one. So that means I'm meeting for at least 45 minutes, half an hour to 45 minutes, different people, how they did it. So okay. I'm trying to learn from other people who have walked this way already, mm-hmm. rather than inventing a new wheel.
Mm-hmm. That's what they call first time caller, long time listener.
Right? Yes, I like that.
So what about a book that you've talked about reading and things like that? What book would you recommend to the listeners that's helped you in the real estate game?
Well, I think every person should read Rich Dad and Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. But if they want to get into I read Multifamily Millionaire by Dave Lindahl before I read Rich Dad and Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting into multifamily, this is the book I recommend everyone to read, and it's a step-by-step process to acquire an apartment complex.
What project are you excited about right now?
Well, I am, for the next 3 years, I'm interested in investing passively. And the asset type I on my list is the multifamily, self-storage, and mobile home park. But for now, I am investing only in multifamily. But during the next, I want to have some portfolio, some part of my portfolio in self-storage and mobile home parks too.
I like that.
Cool. KK, I really appreciate the time today. I think it's a great story. It's very similar to Gino's, where you're getting your hands dirty in a different business and realize that you're being overtaxed and there was a better way to be doing it. And now you're stepping back and kind of saying, you know what, I'm going completely passively and you guys take over here. So very cool way to create that freedom for yourself. G-Dad, what you got?
A couple really, I think, golden nuggets that everyone has to listen to. Just because you're investing in something passively doesn't mean that you shouldn't have total control of what you're doing. People spend more time researching a car and researching where they're going to buy their next dress or their next suit more than an actual investment or an actual deal. They think that putting money in real estate is like putting money in a mutual fund. No, real estate is active. If you're not doing it, somebody has to be doing it. Somebody has to, right, Jake? Buy right.
What's the quote? What's the quote?
Right, and finance right. What's the quote?
What's the quote, man? You got the old quote. Either you either get the knowledge or you get the what is it?
A person with money meets a person with experience, and the person with the experience gets the money, and the person with the money gets the experience. So that's just the way life is. I mean, just because you're doing something passively and not actively, you should still be engaged. You should still spend thousands of dollars on your investment on your because that money's going to come back to you. And as you learn, you'll be able to weed out the bad deals. It's all about buying the apples and the the stocks of multifamily and buying those syndicators. Guys, always look at the sponsor. You'd rather have a marginal deal with a terrific sponsor than a terrific deal with a marginal sponsor. You want that sponsor to really shine and really to put his, like KK said, put skin in the game, put his own, life on the line, because this is his deal and he's got to be beholden to his investors. So that's what I got from this podcast, Jake. There's a lot of gold nuggets here. So I just want to thank KK for coming on and sharing his story.
Cool. KK, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
See you guys.
Thank you.
We trust that you enjoy the Wheelbarrow Profits podcast. Visit jakeandgino.com, your one-stop shop for everything multifamily. See you next time when Jake and Gino share more of their investing secrets with you.